This podcast was created for female business owners, coaches, and service providers to answer this question. How can I take what I already know, turn it into a short and simple self-published book, then leverage that book into six and seven figures and beyond? That's the question, and this podcast is the answer. I'm Jessica DeBry. Welcome to the Author Entrepreneur Podcast. Welcome back to the Author Entrepreneur Podcast. In this episode, I'm sharing with you the simple mistake that you absolutely don't want to make during launch week if you want to become a number one bestseller. I'm telling you, this is a tiny little tweak, and I see this little mistake happen all the time when people are launching. And if you know that you don't want your book to sit in the middle of the charts, if you know that you want your book to go to top 10 or top 5 or even number one, when you launch, then you have to activate this tiny little change because this can make all the difference. I did it in my own launch. Speaking of which, that happened last week. That's the last time you and I sat down. Well, we didn't really sit down, but the last time I was on the podcast, it was my launch day. Just want to share with you a little bit about what came of that. Last week, I launched Author Entrepreneur, the book, of course. This is a podcast, but Author Entrepreneur, I launched. It was launch day and it was a whirlwind. The book did end up becoming a number one bestseller in multiple categories, including women in business. So thank you so much if you supported me with this book. If not, definitely grab your copy. I'm getting some great feedback. I'm really proud of this book. And I'm really happy that I'm able to share the strategies that allowed me to bring my book to life in such a time constraint world that I was in. Of course, I share more about that in the book, but back to the launch. Okay. So I put a lot of pressure on myself, you guys, and maybe you're the same, right? You work on something and you tell yourself that you have to reach these certain goals that you have. I try not to do it, but I feel like this competitive thing is just built in within me. It's just part of my identity, who I am. I knew I wanted to get number one. I knew I wanted to reach number one in women in business again, even though it's super competitive because I had reached it with She Creates the Way. And I was like, well, if I can't do it now, then who am I to even coach other women to launch their books? Because if I can't do it myself, who am I to be able to tell other women to do it and to charge money to help them launch their books, right? So I started getting into this mindset before I launched, and even launch day, I was like, this has to happen. And I just even thinking about it puts me a little pit in my stomach because on the day of launch, the charts were moving really slowly. Like the updates were happening not that often. So I would sit in front of my computer and I'm like, oh, my book's not moving. I'm not getting the sales that I need. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to do it. That self-doubt negative talk was in the back of my mind thinking, who are you to do this, right? And I had totally accepted the fact that maybe it wasn't going to happen for me. You know, maybe I didn't plan as well as I thought, or I just didn't have the support that I thought. And I had told myself, okay, Jessica, if it doesn't happen, it's okay. You put your best foot forward and you still know how to do amazing things. The book is still amazing. And I had completely accepted the fact that maybe this wasn't going to happen. And then on launch night, I put my little guy down for bed. My husband was working late that night. So I put Gavin down to bed. I came downstairs. I told myself, just check the charts one last time and then go take your bath and get to bed. You did amazing, sweetie, right? I'm patting myself on the back. But I checked and there it was. It was at number one in women in business and then I think in business writing and, of course, number one new release in a few categories. But it was like, oh my gosh, the floodgates opened. I started crying and I sat in my kitchen alone and kind of had a happy cry for all of the effort and energy I put into it. And I, you know, of course I told myself, Jessica, that's silly. You should have never talked bad about yourself. You did it. You know what you're doing. And it was really kind of a nice pat on the back to tell myself that, you know, I did it. So I will say one tip that I enacted on launch day was I kept myself busy. And if you are getting close to launch, keep yourself busy. Like, don't plan to clear a schedule. Do the exact opposite. I actually had a client once book a massage for herself and she thought it was going to be relaxing, but instead she was laying on the masseuse table with her cell phone underneath her head, you know, as her face was down in the masseuse chair or the bed. What is that thing called? And she said she just kept refreshing the screen while she was laying on the table. And I thought, well, that's so silly. Makes total sense, though. Once you've gone through a launch, you know exactly what it feels like. You're constantly refreshing. You're constantly looking at your dashboard. You're constantly looking at the sales rankings. For me, of course, I had a toddler this go around. My first book, I didn't. So I was just sat at my screen agonizing over things during my launch with She Creates the Way. And then for this launch with Author Entrepreneur, I was out and about. I took Gavin to a park. We went to a splash pad. We did a Costco run. We went to Target. You know, we were really out and about because I purposely did not want to sit at home and agonize over these rankings. So that definitely helped me. And I want to advise you to do the same thing. I actually had a client launch earlier this week and she hit number one. And she said the same thing. She goes, Jessica, I know exactly what you were saying about constantly refreshing. I can't get away from my screen. So I told her the same. Keep yourself busy. You stay focused. You got this. So this mistake, let's talk about this mistake. It is something that I know that I didn't want to make with this launch, and I'm going to be honest, I have probably made this mistake with some of my clients' launches way back in the day because I didn't know it was a mistake. I didn't look at this until I became more well-versed in launching, and I want to share it with you so that you don't do it. And let's talk about this mistake. This mistake that I see happen way too often during a launch is when people say, buy my book. Let me repeat that. The mistake that I see happen way too often on launch is when people say, buy my book. Why is this a mistake? Because it seems like very innocent, right? You hear it all the time. It's launch day, buy my book. Because it's not specific enough for what book you want them to buy. Yes, you want them to buy your book. But here is what I mean. What you have to keep in mind about the Amazon charts is there's actually two sets of charts on Amazon. There's the physical book charts, so the paperback and hardcover. That's one set of charts. And then there's the Kindle book charts. The numbers from each set of bestseller charts are completely different. So for example, you could sell a million copies of your book on Kindle and be number one above the 7 million Kindle titles and still be at the very bottom of the ranks for the regular book charts, for the physical book charts. This is very different than traditional bestseller lists like New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, etc., where sales volume is counted by units sold, regardless of the version of the book. There is some curation involved there too, like New York Times specifically is, quote, a curated list, but that's a topic for another day. So let's get into this, right? For this reason, it's a big mistake to tell your audience, your people, your friends, your family, your colleagues to just buy my book because you're splitting your sales rankings if you're not specific. You're leaving the purchase decision by chance. You absolutely have to be specific for what you want your people to purchase on launch day in order to maximize your velocity on the charts. And by the way, velocity categories, I talk about all this in my book. I talk about being VC backed, meaning that you're backed by high velocity on launch day and you have specific categories. So VC velocity categories. And for my clients in my own book, I'll just tell you this. We always go for Kindle rankings. We're not super concerned about the physical book charts on Amazon. What we're looking at is ranking on the Kindle rankings. We always push for Kindle purchases. And the primary goal is to get number one bestseller on at least one Kindle category. There's three reasons why I aim for Kindle versus paperback or hardcover. The first reason is it's an easy ask. It's way easier to ask for someone to buy your book at 99 cents for the Kindle digital copy versus a $10 paperback, right? It's easier to convert at 99 cents versus a higher end price, right? So it's just an easy conversion. And who doesn't have a dollar to support you, right? Number two is there's a lot more niche categories on Kindle versus the Amazon book categories. There's even some that big name publishers don't know about. Like I know that I have a lot of well-versed, I would say self-education in Kindle categories because I'm poking around them all the time. And I still get surprised with the super niche down categories that are within Kindle because there's so many categories that are within Kindle that don't exist on the physical book charts. And because of that, the big name publishers don't even know about some of these categories. So that's an advantage for you as an author, because it's totally possible to find hidden gems of categories that are less competitive and easier to rank. Remember, your whole goal is to get number one in one category. So the more niche and the less competitive the category is, the greater your chances are and the less amount of sales you need in order to get there. And then the biggest reason, number three, the biggest reason why Kindle purchases, why we push for them for myself with my book, Author Entrepreneur, and then for all my client launches, is because Kindle purchases are counted immediately in your sales rank. Let me repeat that. Kindle purchases, when someone purchases your book on Kindle, it's counted immediately in your sales rank. The physical book numbers are only counted when your item ships. And that's a big deal, right? So when you are selling your book on KDP and you're using the KDP print on demand feature, which is someone buys your book, Amazon takes care of all the printing on demand, ships it out on their own, that sale that someone makes today may not be counted in your rankings 2, 3, 4 days from now, depending on how far away a printing center is. And that is a huge deflate that you can get for your momentum and your velocity on your launch day. I don't want that. And I don't want you to have that. So no thanks, right? So for all of those reasons, those three reasons, right? First reason, it's an easy ask for Kindle. Second reason, there's more niche categories. Third reason is Kindle purchases are counted immediately versus physical book numbers aren't counted until the item ships. For all those reasons, you have to be specific when telling people, quote, buy my book now for 99 cents on Kindle, or with people that you know are going to support you. You could even ask them directly, like, hey, you know, when they come to you and they say, how can I help? How can I help you with your book? How can I help support? You say, the best way to help is by buying a Kindle copy. And I even told some of my friends that asked me that. I said, hey, when you buy a Kindle copy, that purchase goes directly towards my Amazon bestseller rankings. So that little tweak, that little tiny tweak of not making the mistake of buy my book and being generic, you want to twist that around to being buy my book on Kindle, buy a 99 cent digital copy. It can make all the difference. Now, I want to address something here. I actually got a question from someone recently. They said, Jessica, how are you able to rank with you and your clients so well? Do you just buy a bunch of copies of Kindle and, you know, like 100 copies so that they go straight to the top? And I have to be honest, I'm a little insulted by that question. Like, we don't know how to do it, you know, with the system. Instead, we just kind of cheat our way there. So the answer is no. And Amazon has really safeguarded a way so that people can't do that. When it comes to buying purchases on Kindle, your Kindle purchase is only attached to the Amazon account that you have. So if I were to buy 100 copies of my book on Kindle tonight, it would only count. Well, actually, it wouldn't count at all because I already have that book on Kindle, but it is only counted as one purchase according to the account that the Kindle is attached to. Does that make sense? So Amazon has safeguarded that so people don't game the system. And, you know, could I gift some of those? Like, sure, I could buy 100 copies and find 100 people to send it to, but it would only count as a sale a sale in my dashboard. And it would only count in the rankings if that person actually activates it within their Amazon account. So I just can't send it to random emails. And I don't advise anyone does that anyways. You can reach number one without cheating the system. You just have to know how the game works, right? And hint, hint, nudge, nudge, buy my book, Author Entrepreneur. I talk more about that. So the other thing is, I want to say that when it comes to physical book charts, because some people say, well, Jessica, I want to rank in the book charts, not the Kindle charts. Is there a way to game the system there? Is there a way to cheat the system there? And Amazon is safeguarded against that too. So if you try to bulk buy too many copies on Amazon, they'll throttle the ability to bulk buy your book on Amazon, which you don't want. I actually had that accidentally happen to one of my clients. She had bought, I want to say like 10, 15 copies of her book before our official launch day, but she bought it from the Amazon storefront. And I think Amazon flagged that as, okay, she's trying to bulk buy to boost her own rankings. And then even other people could only buy a couple of copies at a time. And it was a real negative for her on launch because some people were like, hey, I want to buy this for my book club. Amazon says I can only buy 3 copies. What the heck is going on? So not good. So don't do that. So the quick answer to that question is you can't just cheat the system and buy a bunch of copies. It doesn't work that way. And I'm glad it doesn't work that way. I'm glad there has to be a little bit more work, or else just that's what everyone would do, right? So, well, not everyone. I'll, you know, I like to think that most of us have morals. So I have three more quick tips for you before we close out this episode for launching a number one bestseller. The number one tip I always say is niche your categories. You don't want to go super broad. You want to go niche. Don't want to be generic. You want to go as small and tiny and niche as possible with your categories in order to rank number one. The second is you want to request more categories by contacting Amazon via your KDP dashboard. So you can request way more than the maximum 2 categories per versions of your book. When you're putting your book into Amazon, you usually can request 2 on Kindle, 2 on paperback, and you can get more than that if you go inside your dashboard and request help and request the categories like they asked them to be. And they'll tell you within the dashboard how you're supposed to request them. You just follow that guideline and you request more. Because obviously, if you have more categories tied to your book, you have a greater chance of ranking in the categories. And then the last tip I have here is follow the bestseller launch team guidance that I share in chapter 4 of Author Entrepreneur. BEST is an acronym. That's BEST. That's creating a launch team around those letters. So B is your best friends and your bloodline. So I'm talking about friends and family. E is your email list, if you have it. S is social media. And then T is teachers and mentors that you have around you. All 4 of those types of people want to support you with your book, especially if it's your first book. And by just kind of collecting a hodgepodge of these individuals and putting them together for a launch team, even if it's just a small launch team, my most recent client, Felicia, her launch team, I think was 30, 35 people, and we got her to number one. And that's amazing. Really, that's, if you have a core group of like 30, 35 people, they're going to support you. And if you're in the right categories and if you have a lot of velocity, you can launch to number one. So that's it from me, you guys. Don't make this simple mistake. Be specific when asking for what type of version of book you want people to buy. I want you to push for Kindle because in my experience, I think that's the best and easiest way to get to number one. But no matter what you do, remember that when you write your story, you change the world. Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of the Author Entrepreneur Podcast. You listen to the podcast. Now it's time for you to read the book. Author Entrepreneur is officially a best-selling book. And if you've ever wondered how to make your book dream a reality, Author Entrepreneur will show you step-by-step how to write, launch, and leverage a short nonfiction book that can catapult your business so you can maximize your impact and build a 6-figure business or even start one from scratch. Check it all out at jessicadebry.co/book and make sure to download your free Jumpstart Your Journey bonus Author Entrepreneur bundle at jessicadebry.co/book or search for Author Entrepreneur on Amazon. See you on the next episode of the Author Entrepreneur Podcast.